Welcome to I Can Ship It. This is Annette.
I'm Ashley.
And today we're going to jump back into one of our favorite shows, Wine on Earth, because we've come to the end of the show. I know there's still some people campaigning, hoping so it'll get picked up for season 5, but honestly, I'm happy where we ended, just not necessarily how we got there, and that's what we're going to talk about today.
I mean, that's the perfect way to get into this thing. Like, the journey definitely has some bumps, a lot of hiccups, but the way it ended, I mean, I like the way it ended. I think there could have been some things that they did differently.
I agree.
That story-wise would have made more sense. But based off of all the stuff that happened with the ups and downs of the show, you know, not the show itself, but just the behind-the-scenes stuff, they did the best they could with what they had. And so it's like, it's hard to be mad about that.
And just, we're going to let you know right now, there will be spoilers because... Yeah.
Major spoiler alert.
This is the end of the series.
Major.
You've had time to watch it. It's been a year since season 4 was out.
Yes, and it's been on Netflix for I don't know how long. So just, if you don't want to hear it, catch us on the next episode because we are going to dissect this whole thing and, you know, we want us to be able to speak freely. So, spoiler alert. Pause for a few seconds here. All right, people are gone. Okay. So, all right, how can we even start this? I mean, season 1, chef's kiss, obviously.
Yeah, season 1 was the best beginning to a show that I just loved it. I mean, I like, we've said this before, we saw that first episode.
Sold. Yeah, season 1, the first episode, we intro into the show. Sold. Like,
yeah. As soon as I saw her, you know, roll out on that motorcycle to go save her sister, I was like, I'll be here every week. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I'm in for this.
I mean, it just, and then, you know, a lot of times, especially when you introduce your protagonist, like, I like the way they introduced her. So I jumped on board well before she got on the motorcycle. I was on board from the very first scene. When she was on the bus
getting off, coming to the Badlands,
you know, going to the Badlands, and when the bus stops and she goes out to save that chick that got off the bus, which, okay, if you've watched any television, movies, or anything at all, if you stop in the middle of the desert / woods, which, very interesting landscape for purgatory. It's like woods and it's, desert. It's like high it's desert,
the,
but it's
like
not.
The old west in modern times. That's what it is. I mean, it's a western.
Yeah.
Just so present day.
But it was a little weird considering it was filmed in Canada. So I'm like, yo, show me your desert, Canada. But anyway, when she gets off the bus, why would you do that? Like, I get you gotta pee. I know you gotta use it, but I would have just peed behind the bus. Like, if you have to go that bad and it is occupied, all you had to do was go behind the bus and take pee. You don't need to go.
You don't need to go traipsing out into the field.
Like, why? Like, I mean,
she was out like in the woods or some shit. You know,
like, she didn't even like just kind of go down where she could still see the bus. And you know what I mean? Like, there's a good distance that if something were to pop off, you have a shot. All right, this chick went down into the, you know, thing and then maneuvered around some trees and foliage and then decided to pop a squat. And it's like, well, you were just asking to get murdered. And if you didn't get murdered, a coyote or something would have got you.
Right, but, you just got lucky.
Yeah, I mean, she did not. No. And so after that scene.
That was Kirsten. I think Kirsten, was that her name?
I don't remember. I think so. Was she Kirsten. Was the one. That sounded like something. That, anyway, when Wynonna realized that something happened to that girl and nobody stepped up to try to do anything.
None of those other passengers.
No, nobody.
They did not care.
Which, I ain't gonna lie, if I was one of those passengers,
it's like I
wouldn't have done anything either. I'd have been like, yo, somebody call the police. That's it. I'm not. you're not about to catch my black ass going and running through the woods trying to find somebody that just got murdered. I heard just get murdered. I'm not a hero. I never professed to be, for obvious reasons. Which, by the way, me and my sister have this conversation all the time, like when we watch like hero movies and stuff, mm-hmm. or TV shows. We're always like, I'm always like, dude, there's no way I could be a hero at all. I was like, because A, I would get tired of people. Because I'd be like, oh, so you got a problem with me actually risking my life to save y'all. And no, I'm not dealing with that. I'm not dealing with the politics of all that. It's like, okay.
You're not dealing with the politics of being a hero.
I'm not dealing with the politics of being a hero. Because here's another thing. And then they get mad at you. When, okay, I blew up a building. I'm sorry. There is a giant space monster coming down to eat you people. And I happen to blow up a building. My bad. Okay. Like, I'm pretty sure there's some kind of insurance, which FYI, actually, there isn't, because that'd be an act of terrorism, and that would be denied. Mm-hmm. But anyway, like, something. There would be something.
I feel like if superheroes actually existed, I feel like there would be some type of a, you know, alien clause for, you know, most of them, because they're all from somewhere else, the majority of them, or they're just some rich ass billionaire that made them a nice suit. You know what I mean?
You would think, but knowing what I know about the insurance industry,
not gonna happen.
Nah, I can tell you right now, act of terrorism, done. That was literally like, people laugh at me. I'm gonna tell you right now, go ahead and take a look at your actual policy. There is an exclusion that states that if there is any damage caused by an act of terrorism, your insurance company is not responsible to pay for your damages. So, just a heads up. No, seriously though, like I couldn't be a hero because of the politics of being a hero. And I'd be like, okay, so you mad at me, right? All right, tell you what, I'm gonna go ahead and sit this next invasion out and let's see what happens to you. This
next world crisis.
Yeah, I'm just gonna sit on the sidelines and watch. That's exactly what I would do. It's like, I couldn't be a villain because while I don't like people, I could never like take somebody's life unless it was, you know, affecting me or my family. That's the only way I could do that. But being a hero, hell no, no. And then in Falcon and Winter Soldier, we find out they don't even get paid. They just hope that they get some goodwill from the people they save. Bullshit. All right. I need to see a check. All right, if I'm going to risk my life every single time there's a problem, I need a check. I'm sorry, but got to make a living, right?
That's true.
That Sam trying to go to the bank. Yeah, trying to go to the bank for a loan because he ain't got no money to help his family business, but he out here saving any and everybody in the world. And nobody, like, come on. No. Nope. Garbage. Mm-mm. Sorry. Total segue. But anyway, back to Winona. From that first scene of her going to actually go save that girl and nobody else would, I was like, all right, I'm getting some Buffy vibes just from that. Nope. A little bit of Buffy vibes. I was like, I'll give it a shot. I think I'm sold. And then just from watching the rest of the show, but when she said, and I quote, 100% sold me, where I was like, I'm in it to win it, is when she said to Dolls, that's blackmail, you dick. When she's talking to a federal officer.
She calls a dick a dick.
That's blackmail, you dick. I was like, yes, Buffy would have never said that. I am in 100%. Mm-hmm. I was like, that is awesome. I literally was like clapping to no one because I was in the room by myself. But
right.
I was like, that's gold. That is clear gold. I am in. Give me all the stuff. Let's go ahead and do this thing. And then it was just love at first sight from there, I guess you could say, for lack of a better, you know, phrase. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, you had the motorcycle. I mean, as far as that season, that first moment,
well,
was there any other special moments that you were like, I'm in?
I don't know. With Winona, she didn't want to be the hero at all. She didn't. Mm-hmm. She wanted to live her life. And girl, I fully identify with that. It's like she just wanted to go away and do her own damn thing and not have to worry about these people that have shit on her entire life.
Yep.
So that was one of the things that I was like, you know, usually, I mean, we always get these horrendous backstories for, you know, these heroes or anti-heroes, whatever you want to call them. You know, like, oh, somebody killed their parent or somebody did this. And it's always them. They want to, they want to do better. They want to make it better.
I want to avenge them.
Some of us don't want to. Mm-hmm. Some of us don't. Like, and Winona didn't want to. Winona's like, you know what? I lived through hell my entire childhood. I got out of here. The last thing I want to do is come back. And now I'm coming back and y'all going to put this curse on me and tell me that it's my responsibility. When actually the one that should be doing this, you know, they supposedly slaughtered. We come to find out, you know, Willa makes her appearance in season one. She was not killed. But, yeah. And I mean, my favorite relationship on the show that hooked me was her and Waverly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're sisters. And I'll be honest with you, like, I don't have that relationship with any of my sisters. I love my sisters, but my sisters are not my best friends. Yeah. By any means. No means. And, you know, I do like seeing that play out and seeing the two of them, like, a healthy sister relationship. But it wasn't from jump. They had to work on it. So that's what I really liked, is watching that relationship evolve over the course of the show. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess it's that piece of it. I mean, don't get me wrong. I loved Winona and Doc. And, you know, we love Way Hot. But at the same time, the epitome of the show was Winona for me. Like, yeah. You know, it's called Winona Earp for a reason.
Kudos to the actress. I mean, Melanie Scarfano just brought such life to that character, and the way that she portrayed that character to me was very relatable.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, like you said, she didn't want to be a hero.
No.
It was essentially, it was a curse on her that she had to deal with. But the fact that I love how in season one that she accepts that. Yes, this is my responsibility, mm-hmm. and I have to take care of it because I want, at the time, she's like, I want my sister to be free of this. I want to be free of this. I want my sister to be free of this. So her relationship with Waverly that spawned to help her want to become the hero that we knew, you know, that they progressed for her to become, mm-hmm. while still very flawed. Because Winona, you know, she got a lot of baggage, and rightfully so. You know, the amount of crap she had to go through as a child after her father was killed, not to mention all of the abuse and other things that she witnessed in the house when he was alive.
Yeah.
So, you know, old girl got some issues that she needs to work out. And so there was a lot. And so it rightfully so, she didn't want to add anything else to the plate of crap that she already had anyway. But seeing her grow as a character throughout the show, and to be honest with you, season one Winona is fun, but I would say season four Winona is my favorite. We'll get to the reason why when we get, because we'll get there. I'll explain my reasoning behind that. But season one, Winona not wanting to be a hero, very relatable, because there's a lot of times in life where you are given responsibilities that you don't necessarily want, but you're the only person who can do it.
Right. I get that.
And, yeah. And I mean, you have that with whether it's your family, whether it's work, friend, whatever the case may be. A lot of people, we all deal with something like that. A lot of that weight that we have that we didn't want that is thrust upon us because we're the only person who can do it or the only person who can carry it. Annette, you brought up a good point about the relationship between Waverly and Winona. Waverly is Winona's youngest sister. So mm-hmm. there's three girls, Willa, Winona, and Waverly. Willa was the oldest, who we thought was killed based off of the information you get
that we get
throughout the show. Pretty much the entire show up until like the 10th episode where we find out that Willa wasn't killed. But she was supposed to be the heir. She was supposed to be the one to pick up the mantle and break the curse and blah, 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 blah. Which kind of find interesting. It's like, had Willa still been alive, would she still have been worthy? Is it kind of like Thor's hammer? Is Peacemaker kind of like Thor's hammer?
But then we don't know.
That's what I'm saying.
Never, like, got the answer to,
like,
Peacemaker.
That would have been a good question. Because it's like, okay, technically the curse passes to the oldest heir.
Mm-hmm.
Willa being the oldest heir, though evil, but had she had not been evil, would she still have been the one to carry the curse?
And would she have been evil had she not been kidnapped? Yeah. There's a lot of shit there.
Yeah. I mean, I'm curious. Like, is Peacemaker like Mjolnir from Avengers or Thor's hammer? It's like, you know, if you're worthy, you can possess the power of Thor. Is Peacemaker kind of the same thing?
Even saw Waverly fire Peacemaker.
Exactly. But that was at the behest of Winona being in danger.
Yep.
So it's like, okay. Because then remember, she tried to shoot it again when she was in danger, but she couldn't.
Nope.
I think it was season 4, right? Season 3 or season 4, something like that. She tried to use it and it wouldn't fire because, A, Winona wasn't
in peril. She's like, you did this once before.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. So, it's a curious, definitely another conversation you could have because you really could go in depth with that. But, you know, her relationship with Waverly, unlike you, I'm very close with my sister.
I know you.
And, you know, our dynamic's a little different because I'm the Waverly in our relationship as far as age is concerned. So a lot of the protection she gives to me, even though I don't necessarily want it a lot of the times, but... it comes with being the youngest, you know. It's just something that you have to kind of deal with, especially when you're close. And, you know, and there's times where it's like, I have to remind her, it's like, yo, I'm a grown woman. Like,
right?
Bring it back. I'm not a child. I'm not a little girl. And don't get me wrong. We're still sisters. We still have dragged out, you know, knuckle bleeding, not physically, knuckle bleeding fights.
Me and twin.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like I said, like, we're not that close relationship, but let me tell you something. We can fight.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Like, me and my sister, and, you know, my sister's a wordsmith, so a lot of times she'll say stuff, and, like, she might say something that confuses me, and, like, it just makes me even more mad. And I curse like a sailor. But here's the thing. I do make sure I don't necessarily curse at her. Like, I might curse when I'm mad and, like, saying something, but it's not directed at her, because it's I'm angry at the time and these are the words I'm happening to be using to express myself, right. but yeah, I mean, we're still sisters, we're siblings, we still have fights. And Winona and Waverly, while we didn't see it all the time, they still had that, and that's an important part to show, because, you know, notice a lot of times on TV that, you know, if there is a close sister relationship or something, you know, they may have a little spat here and in there, but it's not realistic, because again, you're siblings. You're supposed to be playing siblings. And siblings can have some of the worst fights you have ever seen.
Dude, because we know how to hurt each other. That's exactly what it is.
We know how to hurt each other. So it's easy. It's an easier target when you know the person so well. But I appreciated that dynamic. Because I saw that similar relationship with my actual relationship with my sister. And over the course of the show, it develops into something a little bit differently. Now, I ain't gonna lie, Waverly gets on my nerves a lot. Like,
agreed.
No joke.
Do I love her? Yeah, but she,
yes,
she grabs my soul some days.
But some days, it's like, are you kidding? Like, huh? Wait, what? No, just stop. Just stop. I have a lot of times talking to the TV. It's like, Waverly, just stop. Just, what are you doing? Just stop. It gets a little tedious at times that she does a lot of the time become the damsel in distress. And some of it is poor placement on her part, because it's like, hey, you know they're coming after your sister, right?
That's and the whole premise. They're always coming after her sister.
Yes, they're going to come after your sister, which means, guess what? By proxy, you are a target. Therefore, you're an easier target because Winona has Peacemaker. And, of course, the supernatural strength that she gets from being the curse breaker. So... Well, the air. So, can you just do a little better? just do a little bit better. And, like, don't get me wrong, all right, you have this wonderful person who is a cop and loves you and everything and can save you. All right, I get it. Cool. But at the same time, it's like, I feel like with Waverly, from season 1 up to season 4, she got real damsel in distressy.
Well, you know, all of season 2 she spent with the goo because, you know, she touched the goo at the end of season 1. So she's possessed by Mictan for the majority of season 2. And once they finally get the damn goo out of her, you know what I'm talking about.
I'm just sitting here thinking, like, let's talk about the goo. Okay.
Okay. Let's talk about the goo.
If you know anything about TV, movies, life, You don't touch stuff. You don't know what it is. Especially at the magical hell gate that you just saw your sister get sucked through by a giant tentacle monster. Like, why would you? Why? Why? Like, I get human curiosity. I understand that to an extent. But you could have at least touched it with a stick. Like, you went hands first. Right? You went hands first into the goo after all that mess you just saw. Mm-hmm. And you didn't even think, okay, maybe I should, like, poke it with a stick first and then determine if it's safe. You didn't even go there. You went just
went to touch it.
Just went to touch it. Like, no. 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 Mm-mm. Just no. You know, season one, by far to me, was the best season. Mm-hmm. I think as far as intro to characters, the town, because the town itself is a character. Town, yeah. Peacemaker is a character as well, because Peacemaker has different modes, essentially. Mm-hmm. You know, you get the intro, the backstory. And one thing I really liked about Wynonna Earp was, you know, I have a big thing about lore, is the fact that it's so different. It was so different than stuff that we are used to seeing. You have this female protagonist with the history of Wyatt Earp. And if you are like me and are from the western part of the United States, especially being from Arizona, Wyatt Earp is a big deal. Western heroes are a big deal here. Knowing the story behind Wyatt Earp, and then knowing how they tie that into Wynonna Earp was very interesting. And that definitely was a very big draw for me to watch, because the source material, I mean, they have the comic book series that the show's based off of, but just the premise of having that Wyatt Earp lore and putting a twist on it, that supernatural twist on it, really cool. Because he did kill, Wyatt killed a lot of people.
Yeah, he did.
In real life.
And that's one thing that they do go into, not to get too far into Wyatt, but they do kind of look at, well, was he really a good guy? Or was he also like Wynonna that just took the hand that was dealt him? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, even Doc, he calls back, he was like, Wyatt Earp wanted to be a farmer. Mm. And said, but, what was it? 5 minutes in the OK Corral changed that fate type of thing, you know? Mm. So it's like, even real people, sometimes they just, it's whatever gets dealt to them. They don't have a choice in it.
Yeah. That was a very interesting line. I can't remember. Did he actually want to be a farmer in real life? I don't remember.
I don't know.
If he actually wanted to be a farmer in real life, but he was a deputy. He was a marshal for a long time. And in Tucson, there's a statue of where, so at one point, the OK Corral is in Tombstone, Arizona. Couple of the people who was involved in the shootout, they end up going to Tucson to get out of Arizona. Mm-hmm. And they catch them in Tucson at the train station, and there's an actual at the train track, the actual spot where Wyatt and Doc caught up with one of the people that were at the OK Corral. There's a statue, I have a picture with the statue, it's actually pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, it's huge here. I mean, Arizona, that's one of our big things. But the Wyatt Earp lore mixed in and then change with that supernatural kind of flavor, which, you know, is really big now. This, you know, everything is some kind of supernatural, mm-hmm. something or other. I enjoyed it. I mean, it was very smart. It was very cool. So getting all of that in season one, you definitely were excited for season two. Season two didn't disappoint either. You know, you had more character growth. You had intro to new
pregnant
the predators, which that is just hilarity. Yeah, new characters introduced, because Jeremy gets introduced in season mm-hmm. two.
The widows
and Kate. Or no, that's season three. Sorry,
we got Mercedes.
Mercedes, that's who I meant. Yeah, Mercedes gets introduced as well. So there's, you know, a lot of new characters are introduced and everything, which the cast gets a little bit bigger. And Mercedes, she sticks around for a very long time and is just hilarious.
Mercedes is out of, you know, because Mercedes not part of the main cast, but no. I would say side character-wise, Mercedes is my favorite.
Yes, yeah.
100%.
Mercedes is a mess.
Mercedes gets the lines that, well, I mean, let's be real. Like, we should have probably touched on this earlier. But the reason we like the Wynonna so much is, well, you called it out when you said she called, you know, dolls a dick.
That's blackmail, it's the humor. You dick.
It's humor, it's the quips, it's the one-lines, and it's not that they seem so easy. Like, they seem like she would say them in a real conversation. And if you've ever met Melanie, she would have said them in a real conversation. Not just Wynonna. Like, I feel like sometimes there's a lot of overlap where Wynonna is Melanie. You know, that type of thing? Mercedes comes in, and Wynonna and Mercedes went to school together type thing. And Mercedes has got that same...
humor.
You know, she's got that same... Like, Mercedes is dirty.
Yes, she is. Yes, she is. And she got a dirty mouth, too. Like,
yeah, she's a little freak. I love her.
Yeah, Mercedes is hilarious, especially, like, when her brother... So she has a brother who's just a pervert and a piece of trash.
Yep.
There's one line where she finds out what he did and he gets arrested. And he's like, what did you do now, you perv? Or something like that. She says something that's just like, okay, I'm glad you acknowledge the fact that your brother's a pissant. Like, thank you, Mercedes. Mercedes, by far, as far as all of the side characters, I guess you could say, Mercedes is my favorite as well. And really and truly, I feel like she, I would say the only other side character, which really isn't a side character so much as a villain, which is interesting. I wouldn't say she's like a favorite or anything like that. She's just interesting. Would be Jolene. And that's because I love Zoe Palmer. But
Jolene was a great character.
Yes.
Hands down, it doesn't matter.
Great character. One thing I do say I wish, as far as side characters, another one, Mama Earp. I wish we would have gotten
a little more time with her.
I wish we would have gotten more time with Mama Earp. Especially with her backstory, like
the backstory, getting to know her. And I know, I mean, they give 10 to 13 episodes depending on the season, you know.
Yeah.
And we get her back, and she goes off to look for Julian, and that's it. Mm-hmm. That's all we ever see.
Like, she just rides off into the sunset, and then, like, I get, well, she sends like a postcard or something, yeah, to them, kind of like, hey, I'm in Colorado or something like that, but that's it.
Yeah,
you know.
I would like for her to have been able to have known that they were okay.
Mm-hmm.
We found him. Sorry, you know.
Yeah. I think it's like you could have just like stopped your search. Like,
yeah.
Okay, you've been gone for this long, and I guess there wasn't two-way communication. She was just sending a postcard. So it's like,
wherever she happened
to be. Yeah, so I guess that's kind of the way it is, but I'm like, you didn't have a cell phone? Like, something? My thing is like, if your kids were in trouble, how are they going to get a hold of you? You know what I mean? Like,
this kind of goes into it. Like, her kids never had her, so.
I see, yeah, there's that too. So
she knows that they know how to take care of themselves. I mean, and the thing is, she really did take care of them. She went away because she was the one fighting Jolene. Jolene was the one that she wanted, the little one. She wanted Waverly, you know?
Yeah, yeah, no. I mean, I get it, but I still, especially since you decided to stick around for as long as you did, like, I feel like if you were gonna take off and go hunt for Julian, like, why didn't you be like, all right, girls, thanks for knocking me out of my funk. I'm gonna go find my baby daddy and then, you know, and then take off. Like, that should have been, like, two episodes. For me, I feel like that should have just been two episodes, if that's what we were gonna lead up to, where she just disappears for all time.
Essentially,
you know, or honestly, I'd have even been cool if like she'd have been like, you know, I'm done with my search, whatever, I'm hanging out with Gus. Like, I'd have been cool.
Girl, I mean, we never see Gus again. Yeah. And also, you know, I still got a bone to pick with Gus, because Gus was one of the ones, like, she was in charge of Wynonna. And, you know, she told her when Wynonna came back, all the way back in season one, first episode, don't start these monsters, don't start this crap, you know, don't start all this, you know, that stuff, it killed your dad, you know, everybody thinks you're crazy. And then fucking Gus, she knew that they were real. She knew that the legend was true. She knew that the curse was real. She knew all that stuff. She knew those monsters. Everybody did. And you let that poor girl take
all
rap
that
for that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Gus and I ain't worked all of our problems out
yet. Yeah, I mean, Gus, there's that, and then the fact that, okay, so Wynonna took off, and rightfully so, because, you know, she was committed to an insane asylum at one point, you know, she had a lot of stuff happen to her, and Gus, I get, was raising Waverly, like, I understand, but I feel like all of this could have been avoided, especially since you knew the curse was real, or at least had enough inclination to determined that something was up, and you didn't say Jack Diddley to anybody. Like,
no.
And then it's, you expect well, you like, expect this 14-year-old kid, when she was 14 or 16, 16-year-old kid, to carry that burden, you know, for all of her life, essentially. Like, well, come on, like, Gus.
Nedley, you know, Sheriff Nedley. We haven't talked about him yet. Like, he finally tells us through the course of the show, he's like, these people want to live their life in purgatory. They all know it's haunted. They all know it's got these ghosts. It's got these demons. But they won't ignore it like it ain't there. Mm-hmm. So they just, so y'all pick this one girl. Let's just put it all on this one girl.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Poor baby.
I mean, the way that Winona is treated by that town, like I said, I couldn't be a hero because I'd have been like, fuck you.
Yeah. Nedley told them, you know, when they had the big poison and all, said, look, she may not be the hero you want, but she's the one we need. You know, that type of thing.
Yeah. Even still, Nedley, it's like, bro, you knew this shit was going on, so you decided you were going to scapegoat her. This child. It's a child. She was a child. A child. She was
always in trouble.
You know, always in trouble because of the stuff that you yourself have seen, and you still let her take. That's just, that's garbage. Like, I'm sorry. I can't respect any adult who puts their baggage and their crap on a child.
Right.
I can't do it. And, you know, and I like Nedley, but I definitely have no respect for Nedley because of that. I don't. Like, and you know, you can come at me if you want because everybody loves Nedley and, you know, he's so cute and blah, 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 blah. Like, I agree. But as far as being a character that I would go to bat for, like Winona or just, like I said, the amount of respect, I don't have it because you put your crap on a child.
Mm-hmm.
It's a child. So the show has a lot of characters that come in and out. You know, your staples, you have Nedley, you have Gus is only there for season one. Gus is Winona and Waverly's aunt.
We get Rosita.
Rosita.
Rosita. Rosita is one of my favorites, and we'll get there, but I am so glad we got her in the last season. Like, that was just,
I thought it was interesting, because, like, now that I think about it, when I saw, you know, Rosita in season four, I was like, you know, I thought about this, but I wasn't sure how exactly this was going to work out for her. So, Ghost River Triangle is this landmass, essentially, triangle, that, a border, that demons can't cross. And Rosita is a demon. And at the end of season two, she's introduced in season two.
As a love interest for Doc.
As a love interest for Doc.
Winona and Doc can't get their shit together through the course of this show.
No. And to be honest with you, and I might get some hate for it, even from Annette, but I'd have been okay if they didn't end up together. I was cool with it.
I would not. I'd
have been fine with it.
I honestly kept thinking Doc was going to die on me. Because until he became a vampire, I kept thinking, you know, Doc was going to...
That was going to be his salvation, was saving them or saving that family, that group, somebody in that group, and sacrificing himself would have been his salvation. But the only thing is that he is so damn selfish that it's like, bro, you're 170-something years old. Like, I'm sorry. It's time to go. Like, dude, like, your time on this earth is well and gone.
Look. This is the one I'll get hate for. When it comes to the romantic relationships, I would have been more okay with Way Hot not being together than I would Winona and Doc not being together.
I'd have been okay with that too, to be honest with you.
Like, for me, Doc and Winona, they got in their own way. That's what it was. It's like both of them, let's face it, Winona is rightfully so selfish, but Doc is just selfish. I mean, period. That's what Wyatt told him straight up when he found him, you know. He'd made the deal with the devil, so to speak. You know, both of them, well, for me, I always sided more with Winona just because I love her so much. To me, she never thought that having someone, she would always be in love, but she never thought she deserved somebody to love her back. She never thought she was good enough. And I was like, you don't even think you're good enough for Doc? You talk about some star-crossed folks.
I mean, that's fair.
And that's why I ate it up, because it was like, if they can get through their baggage, did I expect them to ride off into the sunset and be happy and, you know, raise their kid together? I mean, No, I didn't, because I didn't know how this shit was going to end up. But I did want at least a moment of that. Mm-hmm. And I, when we get to the end, we did get that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, there wasn't, I mean, okay, so Way Hot, I liked Way Hot. I did. Yeah, mm-hmm. You know, their start in season one, season two, loved what they did
to
in season
day,
two.
To this day, it's still my favorite first kiss on screen. Love that Way Hot kiss. From the
not
couch.
My favorite.
It is. I loved it.
It's not my favorite. But, you know, the development of the relationship over time and just how, you know, Waverly comes to her acceptance about herself, all that stuff. Like, I appreciate it, and I actually love it. Season one and two, I love their relationship. Mm-hmm. Absolutely loved it. As the seasons progress, I got tired of it. I ain't gonna lie. I got tired of it. It just, I, you know, sometimes too much, there is such thing as too much of a good thing.
Well, and I think we learned, I think the reason we got so much happy, because we did, and trust me, believe us, we know that our gay characters usually don't get a happy ending whatsoever.
Very true.
And so we're programmed for that. So the fact that we never had to fear that they weren't going to get a happy
ending. Exactly. Yeah.
And
it just didn't, to me, it didn't feel earned. That's the thing. Like, in the situation in which the show is built on with all of these high mm-hmm. stakes and everything, to me, it just didn't feel as earned as mm-hmm. it should be. Like you said, the thought never crossed my mind that one of them would get killed or they would, you know, break up or anything. I would have been cool with it.
They were always going to be safe.
Yes.
Two of them would be safe exactly. And they would be together.
Yes. I mean, we knew that from season one when Nicole got shot and had a bulletproof vest on. Like, that was, you know, on the nose kind of deal.
I'll have to, I'm not going to be ignorant. I do think that the Way Hot relationship is probably what kept it on as long as it did.
True.
Because I hate to admit that, but I do think that because, you know, we got this little niche show that keeps getting moved around on Sci-Fi. Like, it's going to be on Friday night. It's going to be on a Sunday night. Mm-hmm. Some people didn't find it until it got to Netflix. Then it got to Netflix, and because of licensing and things, it had to wait. Like, this was, like, the little show that could, and for all reasons, it should not have been able to.
Yeah.
And the reason I would be wrong, just straight out wrong, if I did not give that credit to Way Hot and the, you know, passion that their biggest fans had.
Yeah,
like,
no.
I love Way Hot. I mean, I got my Way Hot. I got shit hanging up in my office and all, and I've got, you know, the Way Hot t-shirts and all. But yeah, I never had to worry about them. And that's not a bad thing. It just...
Like, I mean, like I
it
said...
It wasn't the payoff for me.
Exactly. I mean, my issue was I just felt like their happy ending was not earned.
Mm-hmm.
The way that the stakes were always... were with them. Now, don't get me wrong, I feel like out of the two of them, Nicole had the best character development and character arc.
100%.
Out of the two of them. So I feel like in a sense, it's like, okay, I get, she's earned it. All right? Mm-hmm. If you take from season one to season four, her development and her development mostly, and I will say this, mostly not so much her relationship with Waverly,
Wynonna.
It's so much as her relationship with Wynonna. Because if you are close with your sibling, I mean, if your sibling, anytime they date anybody, you automatically have a certain reservation about the person who they're dating. Because obviously you don't want to see your sibling get hurt.
No.
But at the same time, when you are so close with your sibling, there is a very high codependency relationship. Like, just be real, you know, between you two, that this third person is now coming in. And it's like, okay, have you earned the right to be in this relationship? Because guess what? While you may have, you know, a physical and everything else, an intimate relationship with your partner, you still have to have a relationship with their sibling.
Mm-hmm.
And if the sibling, if you don't get along with the sibling, especially if they're close, the relationship's not going to work.
Nope, not at all.
That is, if that is a priority for them, if that is a prioritized relationship for them, and you can't seem to make it work with the sibling, don't get me wrong. I mean, I feel like I'm pretty easygoing, so it's not that hard to get in with me as long as I don't see something that I don't like. Because if I don't like you, I'm pretty much done.
I'm out.
I will check out. 100% I will check out. Circling back to Wynonna, Waverly, and Nicole, Nicole built a relationship outside of her relationship with Waverly with Wynonna. But then when they got serious, Waverly and Nicole got serious.
Basically when Wynonna actually finds out they're together instead of just making her comments. You know,
yeah. When she actually finds out, of course, Wynonna is reserved. It's her sister that in that relationship, that's her best friend. Yeah, she's gonna, you know, she gives Nicole a lot of grief and a lot of shit.
She does.
Over the years. But the dynamic between the two as they develop the relationship, to be honest with you, I would say Waverly and Wynonna's relationship is my number one favorite relationship on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Very close second. I'm talking like a 0.0000001 difference would be Wynonna and Nicole's relationship.
See, and as we're sitting here talking about that, I would probably flip it the other way because, you know, my favorite episodes of the show every season, doesn't matter, is always when we get Nicole and Wynonna together. Like, I don't care if anybody else is there. If you give me Nicole and Wynonna, that is my absolute favorite.
Yeah.
Because it's just like I need to, I would watch a buddy cop series with these two women in it.
I would totally support that. Spin that off. If we're not, if Wynonna ain't coming back, just go ahead and spin that off.
Come on.
Have them buddy cop supernatural killing stuff.
Yeah, like, just give us Cat and Mel. Give us some, you know, Cagney type shit.
It doesn't even have to be Wynonna Earp based, even though it would be funny. But have Melanie be Melanie.
Yeah.
With Cat. Being Nicole, because I feel like Kat, the actual actress, and Melanie, obviously, I feel like they would be friends in real life, but I feel like the dynamic would be very too similar to each other, because I feel like Kat wouldn't take any shit. I mean, she seems kind of reserved, but, like, to a point. Mm-hmm. And then Nicole is just very no-nonsense with Nicole, with Wynonna, you know, with Melanie's type personality, you know? So, yeah, sign it. Write it, book it.
We're going to watch it.
I'd watch it. I would totally watch that. You know, and everybody's, you know, relationship. I mean, people, you know, a lot of people probably liked, you know, Way Hot a lot better, their relationship, than any other relationship on the show. And, you know, that's fine. Of course, you know, this is all just our opinions.
Our opinion. None of this is, like, scientific based. This is just what we're thinking, dudes.
Yeah. And like I said, you know, that relationship building with Wynonna and Nicole, building that in order to have the Way Hot relationship, because like we said, if sibling, especially when they're close, sibling doesn't like them, it probably is not gonna work out. But I feel like Nicole's character arc and development, because at one point, you know, especially towards the end of the show in season 4, when she's like, it's my turn to save her,
mm-hmm.
like she, you know, we're, you know, she's about to be my wife, this is, it's my turn, you can step down, he had your shot, you took your shot. But now she's in peril. But she's in peril again.
Poor damsel in distress.
You know, she's in peril again. Now it's my turn to step up. And I feel like in that moment, that's when Wynonna, if she wasn't already okay with them, mm-hmm. that was the point in which she was like, you know what? I can step back. She's going to be okay. Waverly's going to be okay. I don't feel that. Because I think it was season 2 or season 3 when she and Nicole have that conversation where she's like, I feel like you're going to hurt her. Do you remember?
I would say it's probably season 2. I don't really remember that conversation. Because, you know, season 2 is where, you know, Hope You Dance is the last episode. And that's where she has the baby. And that's where, you know, Waverly gets to fire Peacemaker. Rosita betrays us. But the one she trusted to get the baby out of purgatory was Nicole.
Mm-hmm. Was it season 2? Because there's a scene where I think it is season 3. It's the one, it's when they're handcuffed together. Remember, and they're talking, and Wynonna is like, I feel like you would hurt her, or you would break her heart. I think it's something of that nature, because in season 2, Nicole's laid up for, 2 episodes?
Yeah, she's in the hospital. Well, season 1, you know, she's in the hospital, because, though, Jack of Knives, Jack's heart.
But they weren't technically together then, so that doesn't
matter. Right, because that was Waverly Earp staring at her from her front porch. And then, you know, the widows get the better of her, and almost kill her, and she's in the hospital, and season two, and that's where, you know, Waverly goes and makes the deal for basically Wynonna never existed after that deal Waverly made. But
I think it is season
two. Like, you know, that the basic thing, I remember the conversation of Wynonna telling her, you know, Waverly would never forgive me if something happened to you. Mm-hmm. You know, that type of thing. I remember her getting a little snarky with her when she said, well, I could ask the same thing about you. You know, they're like they've okay, but they've not crossed the best friend threshold yet. Mm-hmm. And they're like in the kitchen. I think they're in the kitchen. I don't know. There's been two or three times they got on each other's jock about Waverly.
Yeah.
You know? I remember, you know, when the Mick Shin, and they're trying to get that out of Waverly. And, this has got to be what you're talking about. So when they're in the barn and, you know, possessed Waverly has built that whole damn silverware tower or whatever to channel the lightning. And, Nicole doesn't know that Waverly's possessed. And Wynonna comes in, she's going to make her drink this shit. And Waverly's like, well, you know, she tells her, it's like, she hurt me, she this or that, you know, tells Nicole that. And then Nicole steps in front of her. And I don't remember what the conversation was exactly. But that's when Wynonna said something that cut her deep. Because when they're walking out of there, after they've got the shit out of Waverly, and they're walking out, and Nicole said, yeah, so you really didn't mean that. And she said, well, most of it. You remember that?
Yeah, I remember that part, but I think it is season three. When they're either they're cleaning out the cabinet, or they're at Nicole's house, but there is a conversation. I mean, it's not like an in-depth, like, you know, sit down.
They do cut each other pretty deep on
occasion. But while they're in trouble. They're, you know, she says something to her and it's like, you know, I don't trust that you won't hurt her or something like that. Mm-hmm. If anybody who's listening knows what I'm talking about, please,
please put it in the comments. This is coming straight off the dome because we're just getting back into this and we just wanted something to talk about.
Yeah.
And we decided we talk about the finale of Wynonna.
But I think it's season three. But anyway, you guys can tell me if I'm wrong or not. I just, like I said, with Way Hot, I just feel like it could have been done a little bit differently, especially since you had such character growth with Nicole. And then Waverly was just, to me, I feel like Waverly was just kind of along for the ride.
Yeah. And I mean, Waverly had a huge part. Trust us. I mean, Waverly did get that huge part, you know, because Waverly turns out to be a damn angel. And I'll say that's maybe where I got, because season three for me is probably my least favorite. Let's be honest about this.
That's fair.
Season three has its moments, and I love season three in the moments that I love. But mm-hmm. for the most part, season three, like, we do end up with, this is where we get Jolene, which is a great episode, and I think that's fantastic.
Yeah.
But it starts, the shift of the show really goes more to the other people and loses focus on Wynonna for me.
Yeah. That's fair. I can 100% get behind that. Because, I mean, even, like, you know, harking back to season two, we got so many new characters that were introduced,
mm-hmm.
You know, with Rosita and, you know, her betrayal situation, which, sorry, total segue for a second. I still don't hate Rosita. I was always curious. I was like, okay, you're going to run, but where are you going to run? You were stuck.
You were stuck
to the triangle. So I was like, I don't understand where you thought you were going to go that she couldn't find you. We find out where she was the whole time. Season three, it did. I feel like there was definitely a shift.
Well, you know, we get Mama in season three.
Mm-hmm.
Kate. We get Mama, we get Kate. Mm-hmm. You know, we get more Mercedes.
Jolene is introduced in season three.
Well, and that episode, the Jolene episode, which is episode five of season three, to this day is one of my favorite episodes of television. Like, I will give that 100% to them. I think it's a great episode, but I think where we come out of that is the curse meant nothing once we get to the end of season three.
Yeah,
because we're deal with the big bad, which was coming, and the reason they were getting out was Bulshar, which basically is the devil. Is how I look at Bulshar. He's the devil, because he's the demon everybody makes a deal with. He's the devil, and you know, we've spent 2.5 seasons, almost three, thinking, okay, they've got this big fight that's coming, and she's going to have to break the curse. That's the whole point of her breaking the curse. And when we get down to it and we get to the end of it, like, the curse was only a distraction. And we've spent two whole seasons.
Two years of the curse.
And honestly, I don't know. I've not read the comics. That may be how it is in the comics. I don't know. It
could be, yeah. I don't know either.
I don't know. But to
based
me,
off the show, what we have.
I became a little mad toddler when Wynonna didn't get to break the curse. I was so pissed. I'm still angry about it.
I know. I mean, and that's fair. Because, like, if you look at another, okay, perfect example, which I know you're not too much of a Xena person, but for those who do or did watch Xena, it was kind of the same thing where there was such a, this might sound a little harsh, it was a cop-out way to end your series arc overall plot of this breaking the curse thing. Because, like, in Xena, you know, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it, I don't know why, but anyway.
It's been there for a while.
Been there for years. But, I mean, I think it went off the air. I was, like, 13 or 14. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so in Xena, at the end, she essentially dies at the beginning of the two-episode arc to be able to be in the spirit realm to kill the spirit demon, right? But there's this whole thing where it's like, okay, she can resurrect if you take her ashes and you put it in the water at Mount Fuji, right? All right. Simple enough. You know there's going to be a big battle at the top of Mount Fuji, yada, 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 et cetera. Battle ends, demon's dead, and she's like, I have to stay dead, which is some bullshit from seasons past. I won't go into it, but it's bullshit. And it's like, well, wait a minute. So the whole plot of the entire show was Xena getting redemption by doing good works. And being a hero, like her redemption of being a terrible, you know, tyrant and warlord for so many years was being a hero. And she's just gonna die, but she dies a hero, so it's okay. But it's like, no, that, because if that was the case, there was a couple of times where she died a couple of times before the end of the show, and she didn't stay dead. So it's like, okay, what? No. So it was, to me, it was very similar of that situation with the way that the curse broke in Wynonna, because it's like, okay, you've built this up for 2 years that she is the way to break the curse, right? But, okay, so the guy who actually created the curse decided, you know what? How about this? I'm going to do you a solid. I'm just going to go ahead and end the whole thing.
Just snap. It's gone.
It's like, okay, well, why didn't you do that from jump when you resurrected from whatever, you know, the whole situation? Right.
Because, you know, he's, the whole thing is he ends the curse. It was the distraction while he was trying to find the garden. Mm-hmm. And when they say the garden, y'all, they talking about the literal Garden of Eden.
Which actually wasn't even a garden. Like,
it wasn't, was it?
Like, I'm sorry. That's supposed to be paradise? Bullshit.
And the fact of it is because we know that Waverly is Angel, pretty much. I mean, we figured that out pretty early on. I don't remember when we got the confirmation, but pretty much from Jolene. And then we know that Julian, surprise, you know, it's Charlie who's dating Wynonna, but turns out Julian is Mama Earp's and Man, which was Waverly's daddy.
Daddy.
Yeah. And he was the guardian of the garden. And he steps down off his post.
Yeah, there was just a lot of pieces that just did not, to me, just did not fit the way that it should have.
To me, I was like, all right, this is fine, but this is not what I wanted. That's where I was. I was like, this is okay. I'm still here, but this is not what I wanted.
I mean, fair. You know, that's fair. I mean,
if I would have died after season 3, I would have died mad, okay?
Yeah, I like you said, I mean, that's like Buffy ending without her breaking the curse. She'd been fighting demons and doing all this shit, died for 7 years, and then the big bad is like, tell you what, I'm gonna do you a solid. I'm gonna go ahead and just end this for you because I need a distraction. But it's like, okay, well, what exactly was the distraction? Because all the demons disappeared. All right, cool. You're saved.
Yeah.
But we still know you're there. Like, if you'd have resurrected from whatever and then broke the curse, you could have been freely running around purgatory and nobody would have been the wiser.
Like, even after he snaps his fingers, there's still demons. You know?
There's just not the 77. Yeah, right. There's just not the 77, but there's still demons running around. But right. My thing is like, okay, if you needed a distraction to find the garden, you could have snapped your fingers and been done with it, you know, a whole lot earlier and not introduced yourself. You literally could have been incognito the entire time and found the garden with no kind of issue until you needed Peacemaker. And then you knew you broke the curse, so you knew Winona was vulnerable. You could have just shot her and took it. It would have been
she would have never known it was broken.
Exactly. Exactly. She would have never been the wiser because she would have went on living her life per the usual. Like, I don't know. And maybe that's just from all of the TV and stuff that we've watched. That, to me, that feels like a very Root thing. I feel like Root would have been like, all right, tell you what, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to lull you into a sense of security, okay? Uh-huh. And then when you least expect it, that's when I'm going to come for you. You're not going to see it coming. I'm going to get what I want and then disappear. He literally could have done the same thing. So I just feel like it just, the pieces did not fit together the way that I thought that they should have fit based on the evidence we had from the previous two seasons of the lead up of Bolshar. As far as being this, you know, ginormous, big bad.
Which, honestly, he villain. Just, to me, he didn't end up being a great villain.
No, he didn't. He really did not. I feel like Jolene was probably, I would say.
Jolene was the best villain. We know this. I
would
say the
best villains would have been Jolene. What's his face? Come on, help me out here.
Bobo.
Jack. Gentleman Jack. Mm-hmm. Jack the Ripper dude. I thought he was a very cool villain, and I really wish he would have lasted a lot longer.
I know, and anytime I see that dude in something else, I'm like, ooh, get away from him.
I know, right? Because you know he's going to be a bad guy. But he was in another Canadian show about werewolves that was called Bitten. It's actually pretty good. It's on Netflix that he was on, and I loved him in that show. But anyway, and he's actually kind of badass. But yes, anytime I see him in anything, I'm like, I already know you up to no good, sir. Mm-hmm. I already know. But Gentleman Jack was really cool. So those would be my top villains. And I would say disappointing, Bolshar, definitely disappointing. Another one, since we're just going to roll right into it, Clantons. Like, there was potential with the Clantons.
They did enough. But I really expected that to be, I thought, oh, this will be the villain. Of course, I mean.
Yeah.
They weren't completely done for, but, you know, season four is it for us. We're not going to get a five.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, though. Like, okay, so we roll into season four.
They came in and just drove another wedge between Doc and Winona for me.
I mean, well,
because he got real judgy with her.
Well, there was that. There was the fact that, okay, so we're going to introduce this family.
Nicole had made a deal with them.
Yeah, we're going to introduce this family who we have not even heard of this entire time. Which I would have, honestly, going back in retrospect, if they knew they were going to go this direction with going with the Clantons, kind of wish they would have planted something in season one. That would have been a lot of fun. Very POI-esque of them to do that. Have some seed of that in season one. You could even do in season two. And lead up to that. And then, bam, we find out when Winona and all of them disappeared into the garden that they were making moves and stuff, because it would have made sense. It's like, okay, you have this family who nobody essentially has heard of, has just moved into purgatory, but they've been there this whole time and we've never heard from them. We've never, like, that's a big intro to me. I feel like that was a big introduce, and then the payoff of it just did not land the way that I thought it was. Cause I remember when they introduced that Clanton clan, I was like, okay, this is interesting. Yeah, because like, if this is going to be the villain.
Clantons are real. You know, they are real when you go back to Wyatt and Doc. That's
so
the thing.
I would have been like, okay, you know, if you know your Wyatt or history, you know that was a real family that they have beef with. So I was like, okay, that's very cool. When they first introduced them, I thought the garden thing, we were done with that. And I was 100% okay with that.
Yeah, I was ready. They were done with the garden. Like, we were in the garden, and I was like, "I need out of here, real quick."
Yeah, I was cool with that. That they were done with the garden. That's fine. And then they introduced the Clantons. I was like, "Yo, that's cool." I was like, "Okay, so that's gonna be our big bad this season." I was 100% on board, okay with it, because of the beef that we all, the historical beef that we know. But then, like you said, it was like, "Hold up, so this family who." obviously, if you know the history, you know the name of the family, but they've been in purgatory this whole time now, and now they're coming in. The dude became sheriff. The sister chick is the mayor. Mayor? I know it was a little lawless, but I feel like it was just so upside down, especially with BBD having some kind of presence there.
You know, they went outside the triangle because, like, BBD, all right, so end of season one, BBD gets cleaned out. So they're basically, they're on their own type thing. But then somehow after, you know, season three, Jeremy's got them all back. They're all working. Jeremy's like the head of this fucking place now.
Yeah.
And they're just outside the Ghost River Triangle. And they're the ones having to get supplies and everything in.
Yeah. So this is what I'm saying. Like, it just, I feel like the Clantons would have been cool. Should have been introduced a little bit differently as far as, you know, hey, there's been this family who has had beef with these people for a millennia sitting up here, and we've never addressed it, and then they show up and take over the town, which, okay, Wynonna and crew weren't there, I get it. But, I don't know, it's just like you said, I feel like it was more of a plant to bring the drama you know, Doc and
not Wynonna to beat the dead horse, but we go back to Peacemaker. Once the curse ends, how does Peacemaker still work? We will never know. Because, you know, the whole first half of season four, we don't have Peacemaker. That's the way we get Rosita back, is they go on the quest to find the Peacemaker. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, the whole season you don't have Peacemaker. Wynonna does not have the enhanced strength and speed that she had. Basically, it's kind of like, you know, the potential power of a Slayer. That she had, she didn't have that anymore once the curse was broken. So it's like, okay, we have a different dynamic of how she's going to be able to fight demons, which I get, you know, demons existed before the whole Ghost River Triangle situation.
Mm-hmm.
Understandable, I get it. So there is that element, but they obviously don't want to tiptoe into Buffyverse. I get that too. There was just a lot of issue with season four, especially, like you said, the wedge that was pull between Doc and Wynonna. But as I said earlier, I liked Wynonna a whole lot better as far as her character. I mean, I love Wynonna, but I feel like her character in season four, I liked the most. And the reason why is because when she was, you know, trying to find her sister, trying to get this whole purgatory situation fixed up, and, you know, seeing how everything kind of took a turn and flipped over on its head, she stepped up.
That's it. She did step up.
And then another
thing. She wanted to do it now.
Yes. And then another thing is like, okay, you have been sacrificing and doing all this stuff for your family. And when she shot that dude in the back, like, okay, I'll just tell you right now, I'm not an honorable person.
Because I did not care. An opening, I was like,
exactly.
Boom, he needed it.
Exactly. It's like, if I see an opening and it's the path of least resistance is to shoot this fool in the back to make sure he is down and out for the count. Absolutely. And she did it to protect her family, because she knew her daughter who she had
to send away because of these fucking demons.
Exactly. She knew that while maybe he would have been okay, if he was so easily swayed by Doc, who was supposed to be a sworn enemy, what's to say what's going to happen if some more family of his shows up and talks some sense into him and be like, yo, we have this beef with the Earps. What are you doing? And he's like, yeah, you know what? You're right. We got to figure it out. So then Wynonna's got to watch her back again, even more so, because she got demons coming after her, and then she got these fools coming after
her. And Doc's mad at her. When he judged her for shooting him boy in the back,
I was so done with his ass. Yeah, and so, you know, Wynonna, to me, I feel like she really stepped up as the family protector in that
moment. She did what had to be done, and everybody else be damned.
Exactly. She did what had to be done, everyone else be damned. And what I really liked the most was that she was unapologetic about it. She turned around and told Doc, look, this is what I got to do to protect mine. This is what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Your honor code or whatever bullshit that you're spewing, bye. I don't care. Like, this is what we're going to be about, because I'm done. And when you have no powers, you know, she had Peacemaker at the time, but she had no power. She doesn't have the same things that she had to be the heir and she still has demons and stuff to worry about. I don't blame her for trying not to worry about humans. I'd have done the exact same thing. I'd have put two in his back too.
And double
been,
tap.
Yeah, and been done with it. And honest, to be honest with you, I'm very much, you know, you gotta take out the family. Because if you don't, they're gonna come after you, which is what happened. Because I'd have been like, all right, let's go find the sister. Let's make sure we put her in the ground and be done with it. Because you know they're gonna come after you. So unapologetic Wynonna in season 4 is my favorite for that moment alone, because she finally was just like, I am the protector, this is what I gotta do, I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna be about it, and went ahead and did it. And Doc, screw Doc for being all judgmental and all old timey. He's like, look, you want to be alive for 200 years, guess what, times have changed, and that whole honor code bullshit is not gonna fly this day. So we gotta do what we gotta do, protect our daughter and to protect ourselves. And she did it. Like a woman, she stepped up and did what had to be done.
She did.
Unapologetic Wynonna is my favorite. And I need a shirt that says unapologetically Wynonna, because
that's what you need.
But yeah, I just, you know, there was overall our show was, you know, it was an interesting ride. It was an enjoyable ride. Would a season 5 have been, let's lay the question out there. Would a season 5 been appropriate in your mind? What do you think?
No. Like, I, honest to God, and the final episode of season 4, which serves as season 4 finale and series finale, unless there's something going on we don't know about.
True.
I think it ended the best way it could, because Curse is gone, mm-hmm. even though she didn't do it. And I, like I told you, still I'm gonna die mad about it.
It's still a salty topic.
Yeah. So Curse is gone. You know, Waverly, who even in season 4, Waverly was still dealing with garden shit even after she got out of it, because Jolene pops back up, you mm-hmm. know, and Waverly gets to take a turn as evil Waverly, basically. And,
apparently,
you know,
evil Waverly likes to smoke cigarettes. It's like,
evil, I ain't gonna lie, Waverly was high. I was like,
ooh. I didn't know that much of your personality would change. I mean, evil or not, cigarettes are gross.
Yeah, she was doing it. And, you know, so we get evil Waverly. Everything was at a place to where they all had a moment to actually celebrate. And that honestly has never happened. Like, you would get a moment here, like, even at the bachelorette party, you know, they had to stab a dude, you know, at the baby shower, so to speak, you know, that type of thing.
There's always
Nicole and Waverly's fighting.
Yeah.
It's always drama, no matter what. And then, so we get that final episode of season 4, the finale, and it's the Way Hot Wedding. Like, that's been everybody's goal from all along. Like, yes, it was cute, it was sweet, enjoyable. But the thing for me that made that finale was, even up to the last minute, Wynonna and Doc are still on their bullshit.
Yeah.
They are still on their bullshit. She's not going to tell him she needs him, and he ain't going to tell her. They ain't going to tell each other they need each other. And then finally, Nicole and Waverly talk some sense into her and tells her to go after, you know, that type of thing. And even though I didn't get to see them with little Alice again, you know, it ends with, well, I like the flip of the script that Wynonna's the one driving the motorcycle.
And Doc is riding.
Doc's riding bitch.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're going to get the baby.
Yeah.
You know, but to me, that was the best I could hope for, given what we had.
Yeah.
And I loved it. So I really did love where we ended. Everybody was happy. They didn't have to worry about the demons and the shit anymore. They could go live lives.
Yeah, I mean, I think the ending, I was okay with the ending. I wasn't disappointed. I was like, you know, based off of, you know, everything that happened with the show, COVID, you know, you did what you
like
could
we said,
what you got.
This is like the little engine that could.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
We should not have even gotten this, and we got mm-hmm. it. And like I said, I didn't necessarily always enjoy the ride of how we got here, but I really do love the ending.
Exactly. I mean, that's the perfect way to say it, because, you know, like you said, with the wedding, you know, we got the wedding, like, that was great. But also, you know, Nicole found her place in the family. You know,
she really did.
She became the protector, or the shield, or whatever, of Purgatory. Mm-hmm. So, and another thing I will say to the growth of Waverly, with her being okay that she can't leave, because you remember for the longest time she was trying to leave. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I get it. You live in a small town, you want to see the world, I understand that, you know, I don't begrudge you of that. But she was okay with the sacrifice that was made, that, you know, hey, we have to stay here. And I like the fact that that family dynamic shifted, the weight of all of that lifted off of Wynonna, and now to me is evenly spread out. So
everybody's got something.
Everybody has a place. Everybody has a position. And then we've totally forgot. Apparently, that whole family, the Homestead, adopted a child. Valdez.
Little Valdez.
Little Valdez got adopted, you know, essentially. I know it wasn't legal, but she'd been living by herself for how long, so nobody cared. But
and honestly, it was Nicole and Wynonna that found her. I mean, so they're the ones that adopted the baby.
Yeah. So, you know, so they had a kid running, a teenager, no less, running around. Like you said, the journey, it was rough at times, but the way that they ended it, based off of everything that happened, all of the, you know, crap, all of the stuff, it ended very well. And to the point of, should there be a season 5, in our opinion, I feel like they ended it, they wrapped it up well enough.
I don't want one, to be honest. I love Wynonna, but I can live with the 4 seasons we have, because God knows we're going to rewatch what we love.
Oh, yeah.
And it's rare that a show ends and it gets an ending that is good for everybody.
Exactly. See, when
and
you
that
have
is something
like,
they did ended well.
Yeah, when you have something like that, don't touch it. Just let it be. Like, we know, okay, we know demons still exist. We know that they're still going to be kind of fighting them and doing that stuff. That's fine. That is knowledge we have. We don't have to see any more of that. You know, if things would have been different and we had maybe more story leading into season 4 and then season 4 going according to plan, could a season 5 have been there? Sure, because you would have had more time to tell a little bit more of your story and then had that season 4 ending at the end of season 5. Possible. But with how everything went down, how the show led up to its end as of how we know it, season 5, to me, I agree, it's not something that's needed. Everybody essentially has a happy, I mean, as happy as you
they
can
do.
Purgatory, you know, has their happy ending. Leave it alone. Let it be. So I feel like that's a good place to go ahead and stop it and wrap it up.
I think we did, sis.
I mean, we talked about a lot. We talked about the entirety of the show, our thoughts, our feelings. Some of them might be popular. Some of them might not be popular.
I told you I'm going down mad.
You know, but we do
like getting over it anytime.
Yeah, I mean, we do like to try to keep it real. So, and that's just how we have these conversations outside of recording them all of the time. You know, we don't always agree. So, and that
we don't.
That's what makes it interesting. I mean, it is interesting when we always do agree, but it makes it more interesting when
Funny is we do agree on a lot. We don't agree, we are a high difference of opinion.
That is very true. I feel like, and my sister hates percentages, so I hope she can't hear me, but I feel like 98% of the time, we're usually on the same page.
Right.
It's that rare 2% that we don't agree, and we are on very opposite ends of the spectrum of disagreement. So, but it happens, you know, we're two different people.
Why it's fun. If we liked everything the same, we would be bored.
Yeah, and it'd be weird, too.
Yeah.
Kind of stalkery. you know, again, good place to wrap it up. We always appreciate you guys listening to us talk about random shit and our favorite shows and just going with us along with this journey. As always, you can find us on our Anchor page at anchor.fm/IcanShipItPod. Find us on Instagram and Twitter, IcanShipItPod. We would love to hear from you. Like we always say, we're always open to new shows and new TV and you know, new movies, whatever, something that we might have missed, because we, you know, let's face it, we're internet savvy, but we're not that savvy, so we don't know everything that's going on. So if you know of something that we should probably check out, maybe review, let us know, shoot us something in Twitter, send us a DM, whatever, or Instagram, whatever tickles your fancy. But again, we always love talking to you guys, and thank you so much for listening. This is the I Can Ship It Pod. I'm Ashley.
And I'm Annette.
And that's going to be our show. Check you later.
See you later.